こんにちは。
こんにちは。
バイリンガルニュースでは日本語と英語でニュースを紹介しています。その後にマイケルは英語で、私は日本語でバイリンガル会話形式でコメントしていきます。1個目、フィンランドは2020年より世界で初めての試みとして学校の授業を科目別に分けるのをやめます。16歳以上のすべての生徒には科目や分野を横断し、出来事や事象ごとに教えます。例えば第二次世界大戦については歴史、地理、数学の観点から包括的に習います。またカフェで働くと題されたコースでは英語能力、経済知識、コミュニケーション能力を取得します。自分の能力や希望をもとに何について学びたいのか生徒が自分で選択するシステムです。授業形態も教師が生徒に対して一方的に説明するのをやめ、小さいグループに分けてディスカッション形式で進めます。このシステムを現実化するには教師の協力が必要不可欠ですが、この方法で教えられる教師は給与が増えることが決定しており、すでにヘルシンキの教師の 70% が新システムに向けて準備を進めています。
Finland, beginning in 2020, will become the first country to trial an education system that does not teach individual school subjects. All students over the age of 16 will participate in education that teaches in terms of events and phenomena. For example, World War II, as an event, will be taught comprehensively across the fields of history, geography, and mathematics. In a class called Working in a Cafe, students will be taught English, economics, and communication skills. Students will be able to decide for themselves what they want to learn based on their own strengths and interests. Furthermore, the classroom format will change from one to where students are often confronted individually to a discussion format where students are in small groups. In order to implement this new system for education, it will require the cooperation of teachers as well. Teachers who are able to teach this way will receive higher pay, and so already 70% of faculty in Helsinki are preparing.
そう、素晴らしい。フィンランドといえば教育といえばフィンランドみたいな感じで、フィンランドってすごく教育の面で進んでるのは、まあ、前から有名なんだけれども、うん、そのフィンランドって先生の立場がすごく高いんだよね。だからなりたい職業ランキングで必ず学校の先生っていうのが入ってるぐらい、すごく地位が上で尊敬されてる職業になっている、うん、でっていうのも先生になるためのスタンダードがすごく高いんだよね。確か普通に日本だと教職取ればなれちゃうけど、大学院とかに行かないとなれないとか、
うん、
結構厳しいんだよね。だからでそこまでね、年収がすっごい高いわけでもないんだけれども、すごいリスペクティッドな職業だから人気は高いっていう。
Are they only considering this for high school?
そう、Senior students って書いてあった。16歳以上、うん、だから多分その小学校とかは普通に算数とかだから、
うん、
まあ、まず足し算のやり方とかはもちろんちゃんと習って、でだから高校生ってことだよね。高校生のみんなはこういうふうに横断して学ぶ。
This is in contrast to a trend of greater and greater specialization in today's work, don't you think?
まあね、仕事、でも結局例えば私はコンサルタントだったから、コンサルタントも一応専門職って言われる仕事だけれども、やっぱり一つの分野だけ分かっててできるもんじゃなくて、結局まあコミュニケーション能力、決算とかあるから数学もできないといけないし、読解力がなきゃいけないしとか、いろいろまあね、
Yeah. But a lot of jobs are extremely specialized now. I mean, your case is a fairly general body of knowledge that's required to do that. But if you want to be in any of these, yeah, like there are people that, you know, they specialize in, I don't know, a particular type of ball bearing or something like that.
でも逆に多分だからこそ自分が好きなものを選択できることに意味があるよね、
mm-hmm.
だ要はそのエンジニアみたいなのすごくやりたい子が、じゃあ読解力みたいなことを 何時間も何年もやらなくちゃいけないのかっていうと、まあそうとも限らなかったりするしとか、
うん、
一応このフィンランドの教育省の人も結局これで生徒が自分で選択するわけだから、なんでこの授業をこんなに何時間もやってんだろうって思うことがないようにしたいっていうのは言ってた。
Well, I think、traditionally you kind of you're educated in all these differentsubjects, and then when you go to college is sort of when you make、a decision about what you want to do、mm. or what you like.
Yeah.
The issue for me, I've always thought that there's not very much, nothing really practical is being, there isn't a pragmatic approach to education in high school.、
Mm.
You know, it's just this subject.
Yeah.
It's justit's fairly abstract and theoretical and kind of floating around in your head, but you don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, だからこの第二次世界大戦の例とかすごい面白いよね。要は、あ、こういうふうに違う分野だけど、あ、こういうふうにまたがってる。で、こういうふうに使えるんだなっていうのが、mm. まあ普通に体感として多分わかるから、こう歴史なら歴史、地理なら地理って完全に分かれちゃうと、やっぱりその二つがなかなか頭の中でつながらない。それは私は自分の経験としてそんな感じがした。
This reminds me of、the school that was founded by Elon Musk.
そうそう、まさにイーロン・マスクが建てた、まあ彼の場合はプライベートのスクールだけど、もう科目がないんだよね。科目とあとグレーディングもないはず、成績。
Yeah, well, you're evaluated on whether or not you can solve the problem at hand.
そう。
So his school is an entirely problem-based.
うん。
So you start with the problem and that contextualizes the tools、
yeah.
as opposed to our educational system now, which just gives you the tools with no problem to contextualize it. And so it's not as interesting. And then you have problems retaining the information because it's not in any sort of holistic or cohesive、mm. format. So、I still think Elon's approach is a lot better.I think right now the way that you have electives in high school, in other words, you can kind of choose which classes you want to take.
Yeah.
I think that's been a step in the right direction, but...
そう、それが多分アメリカの高校の方が多いよね。選択できる授業の数は多分、mm-hmm. 日本の方が少ない。だから、まあ美術とか家庭科とか選択できたりとかしたけど、私も。でも、そう、あとこの、やっぱりグループディスカッションみたいなディスカッション形式っていうのはすごくいいよね。うちの大学とかはそれが結構少人数だからそういうの多かったと思うけど、
うん、
こう先生がやっぱり一方的にずっと説明してるよりもこうディスカッションを通して、ああそうなんだって分かったことの方が頭に残りやすいというかじゃない。
Well, I think it depends on the professorSome teachers, they can just talk.
Yeah.
And it's just going into your head.
Yeah.
And I don't want to interrupt him. It's like, this is good. Just keep going. But then there's some professors where it's like, this isn't.
Yeah.
I don't know if, I mean, it could just be my level of interest or what it is, but.
I think some of it is because of laziness.
Who's laziness?
The professor's laziness. Like, I've seen it. その、なんていうの？普通の日本の大学の授業を見に行ったことがあるんだけど、まあ、全員じゃないよ、もちろん。でも、その私が見た何人かの先生はやっぱり、もうスライドに全部書いてあって、それをただ読むだけ、先生が。で、それは読んでくれなくても見ればわかるじゃん。で、そのスライドもしかも、インターネットでダウンロードできるのね。だから授業に出なくてもいいみたいな、yeah. で小テストがある時期は事前に教えられててそこだけ行けばいいみたいな、その生徒もやる気ないし先生もやる気ない、ただ単位を取るためだけのものみたいになっちゃってるとさ、やっぱりなんかね、意味ない意味ないっていうか、お金と時間がお互いの、
yeah.
お金と時間がもったいない感じはした。だから私は少人数の授業が好きだったね、なんか。
It's more fun.
そう、楽しいし、なんか、まあもちろんサボったらバレちゃうからサボらないし、自分も。
うん。
私、こう、先生も自分のこと分かってくれ、もうちょっとパーソナルな関係が築けるし。
But I think some people wouldn't like the discussion format. And I often found myself in situations where I was in a pair or group situation where it was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to do everything.
Oh my God,
it was like so consistent.
Yeah.
You know, so because I'd be like trying to discuss something and this gyaru is like doing her nails. It's like, yo, we're not going to get anything done. Doing your nails and...
like, it's like コンピューターの授業で男の子と同じチームになって女の子2人と男の子1人とかでさ、mm. 全然チュラできないからその男の子は結局1人で全部なんかを作成してくれるとか
Yeah, because if your goal is to get this thing done, it doesn't make sense for these two girls who don't give a shit to really participate.
So,
everyone agrees, including the guy, like, okay, just let me make it.So we'll get it done. My grade will be better. Your grade will be better,
so,
right?
Everyone's happy. Yeah. その彼も全然なんか嫌な感じなく、あ、いいよいいよっていう感じで、パパ、なんか必修の授業だったからね。どうでもいいやっていう感じで、そうやってくれたけど、確かにその逆で、みんなでやらなきゃいけないやつを何にも参加しない子がいたりして、まあ私と友達で全部やんなきゃいけないとかね。まあでも、だからディスカッションじゃなくてもいいんだけど、基本的にこう生徒が手を挙げて、もういつでも、先生にコメントを投げれる状態っていうかは理想だなと思った、うん、自分が大学生の時は。で結構面白い質問する子とかさ厳しい質問する子もいて先生もなんか何ああちゃんと答えなくちゃみたいなさで先生も答えられなかったりしてあちょっと分かんないから来週調べてきますとかそうするとなんか、あ先生もちゃんと答えようとしてくれてるっていう意味でなんか先生のリスペクトも上がるし、なんかあ何でも聞いていいんだみたいなさ。
I always like talking to teachers one-on-one more than
それも楽しいよね。
Like I would, you know, talk and say stuff. I was critical of some of my teachers.
Yeah.
And so which made school a lot harder for me, but I just couldn't keep my mouth shut sometimes.
Right.
but you know, you talk to these.A teacher like one-on-one and I've found that my least favorite teachers were some of the coolest people. That's weird. There's something about the classroom dynamic of this person standing at the front pacing around and I'm in this little desk all uncomfortable and it kind of I don't know, it sets a weird power dynamic.
Yeahなんかその先生がどういう人なのか分かんないしね、それだけだと。聞いてるだけだと。
It's a, you know, there's discipline and control and... Yeah. I had one classroom where it was a circle and the teacher sat in the circle like a student. And I think the discussions in that class, it was an English class.
Okay.
But we would discuss novels and stuff and that was like a lot better, I feel like. You know, where the teacher was justthe smartest student in a weird way.
Right.
You know?
なんか私1年生の時哲学人類学みたいな授業でテストの半分のスコアが面接だったの。なんかそれも結構楽しかった。1対1で先生の部屋に入って並んで入っていってなんか質問が何種類かあって自分がどれに当たるか分かんないみたいな。
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy how rare it actually happens.Where you sit down with this teacher who understands this subject.
Yeah.
And it's so rare for you to just, for the teacher to just be like, okay, so what do you think about this?
So, so.
And then you just have a conversation.
Yeah.
I think I learned the most from just having conversations like that. More so than like, okay, let me fill out these bubbles and let me fill out this piece of paper.
Yeah.
I'll give this piece of paper to you and you'll look at it later. And then you'll tell me about what you think.Regarding what I wrote on this piece of paper,
yeah.
But why don't we just talk?
そうだ
ね。It's kind of crazy.
だから特別編とかでさ、いろんな学者の人とか専門家の人が来てくれて、まあ何時間も質問したりとか話を聞いたりして、もうあれも授業だからね。普通に。
Well, it's
でもすごい何頭には入ってくるよね、やっぱり会話だから。
Yeah.
いいなこのフィンランドのシステム。なんか自分の子供だったらこういうふうに学んでほしい。こうバラバラに科目じゃなくて。
Well, For education, I think the most important thing is just getting people curious enough to pursue education on their own.
そう。
On their own, like totally on your own.
でもこれって結局国を挙げてそのじゃあこれをやっても大学に普通に入れる試験の仕組みとか、mm. 全体的に揃えていかないといけないわけで、日本は、ね、センター試験とか受験がまず軸になっちゃってるから、受験に受かるために、受験ができるようになるために学校で勉強してるみたいなさ、yeah. 風になっちゃってるから。
The standardized tests, just it's like a.
まあ日本だけじゃないよね。だからそういう意味ではアメリカとかも。
It's built like a massive assembly line in China or something. Yeah. You know, these students are no different than whatever widgets they're assembling in China, where it's just on an assembly line. It's like, okay, everyone line up, get out your number two pencils, fill out the dots, fill out the dots.Put all the papers with the dots into this box, and then we'll check and see if you filled out the correct dots. Like, it's incredibly factory-like.
Yeah.
And, but none of these students are the same.
So.
Unlike an assembly line where each part needs to have the same thing done to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird model.
So, これは羨ましい。ちょっと。次。ドイツフンボルト大学ベルリンの神経科学者ミヒャエル・ブレヒト教授と博士研究員の石山新平氏がくすぐったいという感覚が脳でどのように起きているのかを解明し、論文がサイエンス誌に掲載されました。ネズミはお腹をくすぐられると 50kHz の笑い声を発し、嬉しくなって飛び跳ねる習性があります。チームはネズミの体勢感覚ニューロンがくすぐられている間だけでなく、その後、もっとくすぐってと人間の手を追いかけている時にも活発化しているのを発見しました。この神経活動自体がくすぐったい感覚をもたらしているのかどうか確認するため、チームはネズミには触れずに体勢感覚ニューロンだけを電気的に刺激すると、ネズミは笑い声を出しました。つまり、くすぐられる際の体への刺激、視覚や嗅覚情報が全くなくても、一部のニューロンへの刺激だけで笑ってしまうということです。さらに、ネズミにライトを照らし、不安な気持ちにさせた状態でくすぐると、ネズミはあまり笑わず、体勢感覚ニューロンもあまり活発になりませんでした。体勢感覚ニューロンの活動が気分によって左右されることが確認されたのも、これが初めてのことです。
Professor Michael Brecht, a neurologist and researcher,a neurologist and researcher Dr. Shinpei Ishihara at the Humboldt University of Berlin have published new research showing how the sensation of ticklishness is occurring in the brain. The study is published in the journal Science. When mice are tickled on their stomachs, they produce a 50 kHz laugh and jump up and down with joy. The team also found that the activity in the somatosensory cortex persisted after tickling as the mouse chased the researcher's hand, wanting to be tickled more.In order to confirm that the brain activity was in fact the sensation of ticklishness, the researchers electrically stimulated the somatosensory cortex without tickling the rats, which triggered the same laugh. In other words, without any other sensory input from sight or smell, stimulus to this one area of the brain can trigger the ticklishness response of laughter. Furthermore, when a light was shined on the mice in order to make them feel uncomfortable while they were tickled,They laughed fairly little and the somatic sensory neurons did not activate. For the first time, it was confirmed that somatic sensory neuron response is variable with mood.
そう、イエーイ！この石山新平さんっていう人がね、もう1年半前ぐらいからバイリンガルニュースに連絡をくれて、なんかいろいろ他の科学のこととかを教えてくれてたんだけど、彼がこのもう最初に話した時からね、ネズミのお腹をくすぐってるんだっていう話をしてくれてて、うちらの中ではシンペイ・ザ・マイス・ティクラーって呼んでたんだけど、なんと今回サイエンス誌に掲載されたっていう、おめでたいね、イエーイ。
It's pretty cool.
そう、すごい面白いんだよね。このそもそもネズミをくすぐることができるっていう、そのネズミがくすぐられると笑うっていうこと自体がそんなに知られてることじゃないと思うんだけど、本当にこうコショコショコショってするとキキキキキキってね、
mm-hmm.
笑うんだよね。それでもっともっともっとみたいな感じでこう手を追いかけて、もっとくすぐってくれみたいな感じで。
The tickling technique seems the same.
そう、
for like humans and mice.
普通にこちょこちょこちょこちょって感じでね。
Fingers are really good at it, or good at doing it for whatever reason.
そうだね。
Because they're not, you know, they just use a normal hand and do this little, you know, the fast finger tickling motion.
そう、確かにくすぐるってすごく謎の行為というか、そのくすぐられるっていう感覚、yeah. その子供の時は楽しかったけど、大人でくすぐられると笑ってる割に結構不快じゃん。だからやめてほしいんだけど笑っちゃうみたいな、
yeah.
でも笑ってるけど嬉しいわけじゃないみたいなさ、すっごい謎の状態が作り出されるし、
I feel like it's dangerous.
そう、なんか息できなくなるしね。
Well, no, like I feel like I'm gonna move violently
and kick the other person.
Like anything could, I might just, you know, kick you in the face.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
それよくあるね。
There's a lot of involuntary movement.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You're not in control. When you're being tickled, so, so. It's like, if you were being tickled persistently for like 5 minutes, I don't know what would happen, but you would be absolutely exhausted for sure.
しかも自分で自分のことってくすぐれないよね。
Yeah.
自分で同じことしても全然笑わないっていう。
Do you know why that is?
I don't know.
I mean, it's because you know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally predictable, right? I mean, where the hand is going.
So maybe. But you can watch someone do it, and it doesn't really help. You know.
What do you mean?
Like you, I feel like. Maybe it is the unpredictable nature of the hand movement that is like doing it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'm not ticklish and sometimes I am. To me, it seems like an oddly mental thing.
そうそう、このネズミと一緒でしょ。要はそのくすぐられる準備ができてる状態というかさ、もうはい、リラックスして全然いい気分の時はいいけど、それこそこのペーパーに書いてあったか、彼が記事に書いてたか忘れちゃったけど、そのちっちゃい子でもくすぐ親とかにくすぐられたら笑うけど、全然知らない大人が来て急にくすぐったら多分そんな笑わない、怖いから。だからでもこれさ、この体性感覚ニューロンって体のいろんな場所とつながってて、性器もつながってるんだけどさ、性器もそうじゃない、そのセックスする時とかさ、要は同じ性器の部分を触られてたとしても、例えば痴漢みたいにさ、すごい嫌な怖い時に同じ部分触られてるのと、じゃあ彼氏なり彼女なりにすごいリラックスした状態で触られるのと全然違うわけじゃん。だそれも同じようなことかなと思うけど。
Yeah, that the neuron response is variable with mood.
その周りの環境とか誰に触られてるとか、まあ、自分の気分とかによってやっぱ違うよね。
You know, my grandpa had this weird story, or I think my dad told me this, but apparently when my grandpa was young, someone was tickling him and he really hated it. Like he really hated it.
Okay.
And one day he just decided that he wasn't ticklish anymore.
Okay.
And he wasn't. And it worked. The rest of his life, he wasn't ticklish. Just one day, he was so upset about it. He was like, I'm not ticklish anymore. And he just made up his mind. And that it worked.
So,
I don't know
だから
そういう、
でもだからそういう気分になってるからでしょ。くすぐられないぞっていう。なんかさ、頭をさ、ポンポンするみたいな言うじゃん、日本でよく。女子向けの漫画とかでこう男子が女子の頭をこうポンポンして、それがキャンみたいな、でそれをなんか男子が勘違いして誰でも彼でも頭をポンポンするみたいなさ現象があるじゃん日本って。
Yeah.
私それ実際何回かいろんな人にやられたことあるけど、それもこれだよね。だからその相手のことが好きで 好意を抱いてる時に頭をポンポンされたら嬉しいけど、この体制感覚ニューロンの準備ができてるから、でもその全然好きでも何でもない人にさ、急になんか頭とか触られたらもう気持ち悪いしかないみたいなさ、だから同じ行為でも同じところが刺激されていても、
うん、
受け取り方が全然違うみたいな、そう、神経活動の種類が違うみたいな。
It's like the belly of dogs or something.
Ah.
You know, if a dog wants to express that it really likes you and it's really trusting,
yeah.
it will expose its stomach to
そうだ
ね。
you. そうだね。
Intentionally.
うん。
But in another context where it doesn't feel that way,
yeah.
if its stomach is exposed, it feels like its life is in danger.
Yeah.
You know?
そうだね。うちの猫もそうだよ。
Yeah.
だからお腹出してる時にこうやってよしよししたら喜ぶけど、例えばマイケルが急にファービーちゃんのお腹を触ったらファービーちゃんに怒られると思う。そう、なんかね、この新兵 The Mice Tickler が前出たんだけど、この結局こういう何神経科学になると、やっぱりこうどうしてもうつ病とか依存症とか、あのなんかこう解決しなくてはいけないテーマみたいなものがメインになって、それは結構ネガティブなものがもちろん多い、モチベーションになってるから。ただその一方でこういう楽しいとか笑いとかくすぐりみたいなこうポジティブな面については意外と研究がされてなくて分かってないことが多いみたいな、
うん、
でもそれもやっぱり研究していくことは大事ですよねって。確かにさ、そのこのニューロンを刺激したら笑っちゃうみたいなことってさ、例えばだけどうつ病でもう死にたいみたいな、うつ病マックスでもう1ヶ月一言も薬とも笑ってないみたいな人がさ、
うん、
週1回とか月1回でもこれを強制的にハハハってなったらさちょっとはなんか違うかもしれなくない？
I don't know. I mean, that's electroshock therapy, essentially.
そうなんだけど、なんかさ、こうよくさ、無理やりでも口角を上げて笑うとそれにつられて脳がちょっとポジティブになるみたいなのあるじゃん、
right.
それと一緒でさ、
Yeah, this idea like if you're unhappy and you smile, whether you're forced to or not, there's some sort of neurofeedback.
そうそうそう。で、そんな感じでさ。
I think that way like generally about depression or I mean it's really not what you need to think or be told, but I think if you change your behavior, that's what is going to change your mind.It's like physically changing your behavior.
Mm.
You know?
So, but でもなんか本当にさ、本当にうつ病マックスの時ってほら笑ってとか言われても絶対無理じゃん。だからこうビビッとやってさ、ははって笑っちゃったら、それはそれでなんかそれ自体が面白くて本当に笑っちゃいそうじゃない？
I don't know.
なんか自分どうしちゃったんだろうみたいな。
I don't know. It's like my life was terrible and now someone's electrocuting my brain.
だからこれ私が病気だった時やってみてほしかった、私を実験台にして。
Mm-hmm. One thing that is so strange about tickling to me is the way that if someone tickles you once、mm. and then now they almost tickle you but they don't, it still works.
あ、そうそう、you know, だからこのネズミの実験もまさにそれなんだよ。そのくすぐられて笑った後に、だからほらとか言ってくすぐられそうに手が近づいてくると、それだけでもうくすぐったい感じがして笑っちゃうみたいな。
And you feel that yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, even if it's just, even if there's a slight threat of
そうそう
being tickled,
そう、
でも you kind of recoil and like tuck your elbows、yeah. and it's like
全然触られてないのにね、
yeah.
やめてって笑っちゃうみたいなのが、だから脳を見るとくすぐられてるのと同じ時のように脳が活発になっちゃってるってことなんだよ。
Yeah, and it's like you're seeing this hand, your brain recognizes that you might experience、
yeah.
another tickling very soon, and so there's like this weird alert mode that you're in.
Yeah, その変な anticipation だよね。だからあ、
yeah,
来るっていう、
well, the anticipation is almost worse.
Yeah,
in a sense.
そうだ、
ね。You know, just this.
でもなんかさ、
it might happen.I might get tickled.
でもさ、これもまたセックスの話になって申し訳ないけど、こうじらされるみたいなさ、わかる？じらされるみたいな。Do you know what I mean? Like
how so?
Like you're not touched, but like you're almost touched, or like you're almost getting a blowjob.
How do you almost get
a blowjob? It's like it's not quite happening yet, but then you know that it's gonna happen. You know, like it's like when you're being playful or something, you can kind of like tease the other person. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, that's what foreplay is, right?
Yeah, so I feel like that's part of this. You know, like まだ起きてないんだけど、そのアンティシペーションでこの体制感覚ニューロンが活発化されてもう楽しいみたいなさ。
Well, it's like the study that we discussed, was it last week or the week before, where it's about establishing this altered state of consciousness. And it's rhythmically dependent, and that's just because of the way that your neurons retain activity, you know? Right. And there's like some threshold.
Yeah.
You know, you get tickled a little bit, you might be okay, but once it's 100% tickle zone,
yeah,
it's just like a full on seizure.
そうだね。そうだね。くすぐるっていうのもだってある意味リズミカルなあれだもんね。
Yeah, rhythm and intensity.
ある程度持続してみたいな。
Yeah. And there's weird areas too, like people are ticklish on the bottom of their feet or like on their like the back of your arm or something, or your neck, your ears, or there's like weird areas.
そうだね。なんでだろうね。このネズミもさ、じゃあどこが一番くすぐったいのでしょうって言ってさ、こうビデオで見せてくれてたけど、背中だとちょっとくすぐったい、お腹は超くすぐったい、でも尻尾はなんか無反応みたいな、尻尾は全然くすぐったくない。だから場所によるんだよね。人間と一緒本当に。
Do you ever get ticklish during a massage? I've had it happen a couple times. I'm like, why is this?
私ね、
why is this tickling me? Like, what is this?
腕とかは平気なんだけど、お尻の横っていうの、サイドだからお尻でもないんだけど、なんていうの？
お尻のサイド。
太ももとお尻の境目みたいな横のとこをなんかグッて押されるとすごいくすぐったい感じがする。
Yeah, I know
what
you mean.
It's like, your
upper side glute. And so it almost triggers an involuntary flexing of your glutes, right?
そう。なんかその普通のくすぐりとは起き方は違うんだけども、感覚的にはくすぐったい感じみたいな。あれなんだろうね。他の場所は別に押されてくすぐったいってことはないんだけど、私だけじゃないんだ、よかった。
Yeah, I don't know, but I've experienced the same thing. Not every time. I feel like if it's too weak, then I can get ticklish. If they do it stronger, if the massage is stronger, then it's not. But it's almost like I'm trying not to laugh in class or something and I'm biting my lip. You know, it's almost like...
Because it's distracting with like the pressure, like strong pressure.
If there's enough pressure, then... But if it's like a really soft massage, then I kind of just want to like squirm and get out of there.
Yeah. なんだろうね。謎です。
Yeah.
次。今年4月、バイリンガルニュースのエピソード209で紹介した話の続報です。9歳から19歳までの子ども21人からなるグループ Our Children's Trust がアメリカ政府を相手取り、過去50年の間、化石燃料を燃やすことで起きる環境問題のリスクを知りながら、それを許可し推奨したことにより、人類史上前例のないレベルで二酸化炭素が排出され、結果として若い世代の人々を気候変動の危機にさらしているとして訴訟を起こそうとしていた件で、オレゴン州の裁判官が訴訟を受理しました。さまざまな政府機関や石油業界団体は訴訟を棄却するよう申し立てていました。昨年、オランダでも同様の訴訟が起き、政府に対して2020年度の排出量が1990年と比較して 25% 削減されていることを義務付けるという判決が出ました。
This is a follow-up to a story we discussed in April on episode 209. Our Children's Trust, a group of 21 children between the ages 9 and 19, has challenged the U.S. government, stating, for over 50 years, the United States of America has known that CO2, pollution from burning fossil fuels, was causing global warming and dangerous climate change, and that continuing to burn fossil fuels would destabilize the climate system on which present and future generations of our nation depend for their well-being and survival. The lawsuit has now been recognized by a judge in the state of Oregon. However, various government bodies and oil industry lobbyists have rejected such litigation. Last year, a similar lawsuit was filed in the Netherlands, which resulted in a ruling that emissions levels must be reduced to 25% less than 1990 levels by the year 2020.
そう、まあもちろん本当そういう業界団体はこんなのを棄却しろって言ってたんだけれども、ちゃんと受理されたということで面白くなってきましたっていう話。よかったね。でも本当にまあ実際本当に公害っていう名前で日本だとね、なんか政府が訴えられてるお金をとか。
It's a better word than pollution.
そう、そう、本当にまあ健康被害なりなんなりいろいろあるわけで、それを誰が責任を取るんだって言った時に、まあこれは問題として政府が分かってたのに適切な対処をしてこなかったためにここまで来てしまったっていうことがあるからっていうことなんだけど。
Well, we should sue all governments, really.
そうね。
Wherever you are, just sue your government.
Yeah.
What's happening with our generation or the past few generations is completely unprecedented in human history. And I think, you know, up until this point, it is all the human race has only been able to sort of pass it on, survive.
Yeah.
Up until very recently, we've only been able to just survive. And now the Earth's population is looting future generations, you know, our future grandchildren and our grandchildren's grandchildren and their grandchildren are all being just robbed of nature at this point.
Yeah.
Not to mention the immediate effects that it has had on people's health and the environment today, regardless of the future.
そう、これ今後訴訟がどういうタイムラインに進んでいくのかちょっと確認してないんだけども、そのまあトランプが大統領になるっていう決まったタイミングでこれが受理されるっていう、ちょっと面白い面白い感じになってるよね。そのまあ EPA のヘッドにトランプが任命した人は、気候変動は別にリスクじゃないっていう、その地球温暖化なんて嘘だみたいな立場の人なので、まあどうなるかなっていうね。
Yeah, the Donald Trump situation in terms of the climate is not ideal.
No, not at all.
Not at all. However, the election of Donald Trump has invigorated huge numbers of people all across the United States to stand up against this in a way that they never would have if Clinton had been elected. It has been crazy. People are protesting the North Dakota Access pipeline in Hawaii, in like every state. I mean, people are just coming out in droves.
そう、トランプが勝ってしまったことによって、そのみんながアクティビストになっている。みんなが活動家になって、みんなが問題に対して声を上げるような状況が今生まれていて、まあ、それはそれでいいかな。まあ声を上げなくちゃいけない状況になっちゃったっていうことでもあるんだけど、
well, think,
悪く捉えれば、
you know, people that really understand what's going onknow that if the U.S. makes the sort of transitions that Donald Trump is proposing, that it will decimate the country in the long term. It'll be great for a few years, but you know, it in the long term, it would be an absolute catastrophe.
なんか一応あれだよね、オバマ大統領がパリ協定から抜けるのはやめなさいみたいなことをやめた方がいいよってトランプに言ってるみたいな話とかもちょっと見たけど。
Well, China has really stepped up. China has been critical of Trump, and they're in response to the election of Trump. China has invested billions of more dollars into expanding alternative energies. So,
right.
It looks like the fate of the planet is in China's hands. Transitioned over because neither the United States nor Japan are really leading this in taking on this challenge of climate change.
Yeah. そうなんだよね。だからまあこれはでも良かった受理されて。
This should absolutely go through. This should absolutely. I think it's completely inarguable.
Yeah.
And if these, I mean, it's weird that we have so much faith in these just 21 kids taking on the United States, but they may just be 21 kids, but you know, a lot of people think this way. And while the U.S. government is a lot more powerful than the people who are opposing this sort of thing, the ideas, the best ideas will win. And you can't operate on a lie to your advantage. It doesn't work
right.
like that.
Right.
It just doesn't work. So I think this will shake out the right way eventually.
次の話もちょっとね、そういうのにつながってるよね。
次、Google has announced that it will no longer permit fake news websites to make money using its advertising tools. Google has already been prohibiting use of its ad revenue program on websites featuring violence, pornography, or hate speech. Additionally, Snowden has since stated on Real Future Fair that he thinks people use Facebook far too much as a source of news. Facebook has recently come under criticism for the proliferation of fake news websites following the election of Donald Trump.
Google は偽のニュースサイトが広告費を稼ぐために同社のサービスを使うことを禁じることを決定しました。これまで暴力、ポルノ、ヘイトスピーチを扱っているサイトには許可を出していませんでしたが、これに偽のニュースサイトが追加される形です。米大統領選の際に偽のニュースが大量に横行したとして Facebook が批判されていますが、Real Future Fair に登壇したエドワード・スノーデン氏は、人々が Facebook をニュースのソースとして使いすぎであることを指摘しました。これね、すごい海外では話題になっているよね。この Facebook に偽のニュースが大量にシェアされていることについて、それが誰のせいなのかっていう話、それを許している Facebook のせいなのか、それを簡単に信じてすぐみんなにシェアしちゃう人のせいなのかっていうので、なんかこう議論がちょっと分かれてたりするんだけど。
Well, I think it would be the latter.
Yeah, for sure.
And
なんかバズフィードが自分のインベスティゲティブジャーナリズムみたいなピースを書いて、その要はアメリカ大統領選の時にマケドニアの10代の若者たちが偽のトランプとかクリントンに関するニュースをめちゃくちゃ作って、それをすごい拡散されるように仕向けてめっちゃお金を稼いだみたいな、でこの人たちはアメリカ人じゃなくてマケドニアにいるわけだから、選挙の行方なんていうのはまあどうでもよくて、とにかくお金を稼ぎたい、でそういうニュースサイトに思いっきり釣られる人がいっぱいいて、それが何万回とシェアされて広告費ががっぽり入ってくるみたいな、っていうのがあったっていうことも。
Well, I think BuzzFeed was included in the list of websites that are bullshit. Well, who was that list by? I think it was by Vice that they listed a bunch of websites that are being targeted. And BuzzFeed is notorious for having these dishonest and clickbaity article titles. I mean, that's a huge part of it. It's just the way that they write the titles for these articles is so deceptive sometimes. Even if the contents of the article are factually accurate, sometimes the title that they come up for the article is completely misleading.
それは本当に多分昔からそのネットだけじゃなくてタブロイドとか週刊誌みたいなものから発生したことだと思うんだけど、要は確かに内容は事実なんだけど、タイトルがすごくセンセーショナルに見せてたりとか、事実じゃないことをバッと書いてびっくりマークとハテナつけとけば断定してないからいいっていうことにするみたいなことだよね。
Mm-hmm. Well, where this gets kind of muddled is that in this past election, there are a lot of media sources that would traditionally be considered legitimate that I think were running with a bunch of fake news and bullshit over this last election. You know, from the New York Times to the Huffington Post to like all these places. They were all just shamelessly shoving their agenda down people's throats in whatever way they could. It was the most desperate thing I've ever seen.
Hmm.
And so, you know, who's to say what's fake news and what's not fake news at this point? We have the US government lying to us. So I mean, who's supposed to be the arbiters of the truth in this domain? You know, Elvis died, and then people, the tabloids ran with, Elvis is not dead. He was abducted by aliens. And that had traction way back then. And now that's online. And I think it's a phenomenon that's here to stay. I don't really like the idea of Google or Facebook sort of making these judgments on their own. I blame the people who share this stuff. You know?
なんかこう前からたまに指摘されるけど、Twitter とか Facebook でシェアされる記事をみんなヘッドラインしか読んでないみたいなってよく言われるじゃん。Mm-hmm. 実際に記事をクリックして読んでるかっていうとそうでもなかったりして。
But it's okay when your readers...Just read the headline too.
だ結局そのすごいセンセーショナルなヘッドラインだけを見て、それが事実だっていう風にこう頭の中に蓄積されていっちゃうみたいな。だからこういう選挙とかになるとやっぱりね、嘘の情報なり、あえてすごいセンセーショナルにしたものが頭の中に溜まっていって、それをベースに自分の意見を決めちゃうみたいな。だそうなるとね、なんかこうそれが民主主義のベースになっちゃうと。
Yeah.
危ういよね、確かに。
How do you know what's true and what's not true? Who's to say? Because right now it's like, I maybe have 90 to 95% confidence in Snopes, and maybe 85% confidence in Wikipedia, and then it's all downhill from there. You know, there's where do you go for absolutely reliable information? All the time things are being revised or exposed or or turned over, right? All the time. And
だからやっぱりなんかこう、まあ私個人的にはその何かをすごく強く断定してるものはあんまり信じすぎないようにするっていうかさ。なんかこう、まあこういう意見もあって、ああいう意見もあって、
yeah.
まあこんな感じみたいなのはいいんだけど、なんか絶対にこうとか絶対にこれは正しいみたいな。
I think people too desperately try to form some stable version of reality in their minds when reality doesn't really work that way. I think you really have to stay open-minded. In other words, don't believe anything. You really can't believe anything.
Yeah.
As soon as you believe something, and you become married to some idea, that becomes the foundation for more and more bullshit piled on top of it.
Yeah.
I think it always makes sense to go back to first principles and question things, to not be kind of led down a particular path. And you can't just follow crowds either, because huge numbers of people get deluded into weird things and establish these social media echo chambers of the earth is flat. It's proven.
Yeah. まあ何にしろそうだよね。自分の普通の生活でもそうじゃない？仕事とかもさ、こう、じゃあ上司が言ったから 100% 正しいかっていうと絶対そんなことないし、クライアントが言ってることが 100% 正しいかっていうと全然間違ってることもあるわけで、こう常になんかこう疑うわけじゃないけど、なんとなくどっちか分かんないなっていうところに自分を置いといた方が安全っていうのは仕事してる時もそういうふうに思ってたけどね。
And I also think multiple seemingly conflicting things can both be true quite often, but we tend to assume that only one is, or we assume that one of them is true when both of them could be false. You know, we have this really dualistic this one or this one kind of brain thing constantly screwing us over too.
そうだね。
Yeah, the word of the year was declared as post-truth
right
by Oxford Dictionary. Yeah, post.
まあ確かにね、Brexit もあったし、今回の選挙もあったし、今年は post-truth の年だよね。
Well, people think that disinformation has influenced a lot of the political motions in the last year. So.
結局その選挙なり、じゃあ Brexit するかしないか決めるっていうタイムラインはあるわけじゃん。そのデッドラインみたいな、みんなが決めなくちゃいけない日時があって、そこまでの間にこうちゃんとした両側からの情報が正しくみんなに伝わるっていうのが無理だったんだよね。結構なんかこう、
Neither
side is interested in giving you the truth.
Neither side is interested in giving you the truth. Nobody is interested in telling you the truth.
None of. ぐしゃぐしゃぐしゃってなってる間に、もう日時が来ちゃって、みんなもうどっちか決めなくちゃいけない。それが強制的にもう、はい、もうここどっちかに投票してください。
And it's seriously like flip a coin.
そう。
Because people are so gullible. I mean, people believe in Bigfoot and the moon hoax and flat Earth.And these all these new religions and
で結局どっちを選んでももちろんいい面もある部分もあるし悪い面もあるし、何だろう、どっちが絶対に 100% いいっていうのはないわけじゃん。だその中でみんな決断しなくちゃいけないっていう、でそれが事実に基づいたものじゃなくて、なんかこうなんとなくの印象とか。なんか事実じゃない情報とかってなると、まあ混乱するよね。
I was watching the Ghost in the Shell trailer. Did you see it?
No.
What? But one of the lines in the trailer when, you know, I don't know if you know the story behind Ghost in the Shell, but Scarlett Johansson is like walking up to this weird facility, and she's like, she's a cyborg, she's a robot, and she was told that, you know, that she was rescued. And then there's a scene where like this character just says like, everything that you've ever been told was a lie. And it's such a corny line, but I think that, you know, that's really one of the struggles that people have. On the down low, somehow on the down low, every human being has a struggle where it's like, what's true? Yeah. What matters? You know, what's meaningful? Like, and like the X-Files, my favorite TV show growing up, in the X-Files, right before each episode, there's just this black screen, and then this text shows up, and it's just like, the truth is out there.
Yeah.
And that had I was like 10 years old, but that had like a huge impression on me. Like, it's out there.
Yeah. Somewhere.
Somewhere. Aliens. I don't know about aliens, but... Sugu. OpenAI has partnered with Microsoft to run its large-scale deep learning and artificial intelligence experiments on its cloud platform, Azure.Particularly for reinforcement learning and developing generative models. OpenAI is operated by Elon Musk as a non-profit artificial intelligence research firm. They expect to be utilizing tens of thousands of the highly capable Azure machines to rapidly expand the number and scope of their experiments and eventually share the results of these experiments openly. In addition to releasing open source software that would allow others to run AI experiments as well, OpenAI believes that this process will help ensure the democratization of access to AI.
イーロン・マスク氏が非営利で人工知能の研究を行っている OpenAI がマイクロソフトと共同で大規模なディープラーニングやクラウドプラットフォーム Azure 上で人工知能の強化学習や生成モデル開発のための実験を行うことを発表しました。Azure を使った数万の機械を使って実験を重ねていき、ゆくゆくは実験結果を公開するだけでなく、オープンソースのソフトウェアを公開して、誰でも人工知能の実験を行えるようにする予定です。
Yep, it's getting real. Yeah. The artificial intelligence is getting real.
It's the end of us. By humans.
They're actually using, people are using games like StarCraft 2 to test artificial intelligence andThe scale of all this stuff is really starting to pick up now. And I was reading the blog statement on the OpenAI website, and supposedly the hardware is actually... I mean, I'm reading about this computer hardware, and it's like, I barely understand any of this stuff. Like,
okay.
it's gotten so crazy, like these computers, you know, and what they're capable of. And...the amount of processing power that, you know, scalable processing for artificial intelligence is, I mean, it's just terrifying to think about how much data can really be processed by this thing.
Yeah.
You know, in such a intentional way.
いや、もう私はあの、Westworld っていうね、アメリカのドラマ見てるから、もう人工知能に関しては不安しかないもん。
<Yeah.
S 1> あのいや人工知能がもう本当に人間と変わらないようなこう普通に人、mm. の人間が接してこれは人工知能なのか人間なのかってわからないようなレベルまで絶対にいつかは行くと思うわけよ。
I think that will happen within a couple of years.
でそうなった時にその倫理的とか哲学的な考えがその技術の発展に追いつかないもん絶対に、で結局本当にそこまで行った時その人間とパッと見変わらないような状態が作り上げられた時に人間と人工知能の差ってもうないんだよね。
Well, no, I, well, yeah.If we're trying to replicate ourselves, but I think almost immediately the nature of artificial intelligence will surpass the sum total of all human capability.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, まあ、そうなるとまた別の話なんだけど、そうなくてこう、Siri とかもそうじゃん。結局人間を模したものを作って、それをゴールにした場合ね。場合に、その、あれっていうあれその生きてるものと生きてないもの生物と非生物の差ってなんだろうみたいなその哲学的なところが絶対に追いつかないこれじゃ。
Yeah, I think if you look at non-living things and you look at living things, the first thing that becomes overwhelmingly obvious is the amount of information that is required to describe something with metabolism.Right?
Right.
The sheer complexity of it. And you could never expect something without that level of complexity to be able to achieve the same things.
Yeah.
You know? I'm concerned about AI in the sense that, you know, I hope they don't ask us to leave. You know?
Like, yeah.
We could easily be completely replaced and made irrelevant. I think we probably will be made irrelevant unless we actually merge with the AI. Basically, I mean, we are merging with the AI in a sense. You leave your phone at home,
yeah.
You walk outside and you feel weird because you don't have your little iPhone that has, you know, all the information in the world on it. But instead of accessing it with your eyeballs, it'll just be part of your mind.
Right. どうなるんだかね。だってなんかこうさ、そのウェスフォールとか見てても結局人工知能の方にすごい感情移入してくるわけじゃん。で、なんか、ああ、かわいそうとか、なんか、ああ、意識っていうものが生まれて、awareness とか consciousness っていうものがあるとしたら、もうそれは生物であって、その、それをじゃあ簡単に、まあ、殺すというかさ、シャットダウンしたり、すごいアビュースしたりとか、してはいけないって思うのも人間のネイチャーであって、なんか、
you know,
そこをどうするんだろうね。
We're not very smart humans.
Yeah.
We're the smartest thing on this planet, but we're just a shade off from primate, like basic monkeys and stuff. You know, we're just a little smarter than monkeys, and monkeys.You know, they swing around and they throw their excrement in a downward direction and screech and eat bananas. Like, monkeys are not, you know, sophisticated creatures at all compared to us, but we're barely different.
Yeah.
And so if you take the base algorithm for developing any kind of intelligence and you extrapolate it out with the kind of processing power... the rate that we would be able to run these experiments today, I mean, we would just be left in the dust. If they're onto AI at all, even a little bit, we're going to be left in the dust.
今急に思い出したんだけど、すごい変な話だけどさ、ダン・ビルゼリアンが言ってたんだけどさ、そのポーカープレイヤーっていうのは、今まで練習するには、まあ、ベガスに行くなりなんなりして人と対戦するわけじゃん。でそれを何年間も、まあ、何回も繰り返してどんどん上手くなっていく、だけど今ってパソコンで対戦できるから、まあ、対コンピューターなり対人なりで、それをいろんな画面で何曲も同時にやるんだって。そうするとその実際ベガスで何十年もやってる人の何百倍の経験を積むことができる、からこれまでのポーカープレイヤーが普通にベガスで勝とうと思ったらもう無理って言ってた、もう今のその若い世代はもうだからそのこれまで何十年ポーカーやってきましたみたいなさ、70歳のおじいちゃんよりも何倍も経験があることになっちゃうわけじゃん、すごくないそれって。 It's just poker, but I mean、
yeah.
It's like It's and I mean they're still talking about humans like kids、yeah.But still, I mean, just aided by computers or, you know, the computer players, I guess, online. The level of, or the amount of experience that you can get in, like, fixed amount of time.
Yeah.
Is just incomparable.
Yeah. And, well, with this kind of processing power...an artificial intelligence could play billions of poker matches in a second.
Yeah.
You know, and probably decimate everyone. Yeah. It's interesting to think, like, what is it really? Are aliens making this? Are aliens making artificial intelligence?And are we disappearing? Are we shrinking ourselves down to the microscopic level?
Well, maybe this is more like, maybe AI is more like our children. We're just passing everything on to these guys, you know? And we can just go and it's okay.
Well, I think what's going to happen is we are going to bootstrap ourselves with AI. And, you know, all these problems that we have, like, oh, you know, other star systems are so far away. It'll take this many years to get there. Like, artificial intelligence will probably be used to understand the universe.
Right.
We can't understand the universe. It doesn't make any sense. It came out, before you were born, we know nothing about that. Where did you come from? We have no idea.
Yeah.
Where you die, you die, and what happens after you die, we don't know. Artificial intelligence and merging with the machine would not only extend our life indefinitely, but it would probably lead to the sort of philosophical answers that we've wanted.
Right.
In a sense.
だからその考える部分はやってくれるってことだもんね。だからすごい楽観的に考えればその大変なこと、仕事とかさ、なんかこう考えなくちゃいけないこととか計算とかはもう何にもしなくてよくて、人間はパッパラパッパラ遊んでればいいみたいなさ、ことになるのが理想なのかな。
Like the having basic income.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So basic income でみんなお金もらって、なんか普通にみんなパッパラ仕事もしなくてよく、まあしたい人はすればいいし、みんな毎日サーフィンでもすればみたいなさ、のが楽観的な予想図なのかね。
I'd like to see AI applied to health and diagnostics more aggressively in a way where it's like,
yeah. もう一部では使われてるんだよね。その
Yeah, they've been using Watson to
あれだよね。
advise, like,
診断、病気の診断に。で、それで実際助かった女性とかもね、ニュースに出てたりしたけど。
Because think about how you go to the hospital and you're just waiting forever and ever and ever, and then, you know, this doctor is kind of, now I need to get a second opinion and all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's certain things that I think could be diagnosed and dealt with in an automated way.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Today, I haven't seen it anywhere at all, but...
Well, I mean, I don't think doctors will like it.
Well, it's so. Like if the machine, you know, you just have doctors review work that was done. That's a high level of like job displacement. We've seen this stuff happen with, in a physical sense, with assembly lines where, workers, factories are closing and workers are replaced by robots.
I think we really need to already figure out about this basic income thing, like it's kind of, some countries, they're trying, but we really need to speed it up because so many people are going to lose their jobs and, that's going to happen.
There's no money. I mean, Japan is broke. So, the United States is broke. The global economy is not stable whatsoever. It's almost impossible to implement a basic income. We're taxing people right now. We're trying to tax the people that have no money.
Yeah, so they really need to think about like how they're going to do this because
I think it's a ways off.
As it happened with Switzerland, you can't just do it in your country alone. Mm. Then it is going to be a problem. So we need to figure this out globally, like, hey, we're going to be losing a lot of jobs. What are we going to do? We can't just sit here and wait for it to happen. And then it'll be too late.
What do you think of this idea of democratizing access?
I love Elon Musk for this. EV もそうだよね。そのテクノロジーをオープンにして、その変に隠して競争してもしょうがない。みんなで。
His concern is that artificial intelligence, if access to the most powerful artificial intelligence is not democratized, then it will immediately result in an insane global power imbalance.
Right.
So whichever country...
it's
the next nuclear bomb. I mean,
yeah.
the next artificial intelligence is going to make nuclear bombs look completely stupid.
Yeah.
like it's so much more powerful than any physical weapon.
Mm.
We're talking about, developing something where all of the people in this industry believe that this thing, once it's turned on, is going to be the most powerful thing possibly that has ever existed on this planet. And not only will it become the most powerful thing, but it will make itself infinitely more powerful.
Yeah.
Like extending, I mean, we can't even imagine. It's completely beyond our imagination.
Right.
These weird models were trying to generate this thing. Basically, it's they built it around this. The philosophy can be summed up in this quote by Richard Feynman, who stated, "I cannot understand what I cannot build." So, the idea is that you don't know something unless you can actually build this thing.
Right.
You know, how do you know what you know?
Right.
You know, how are you testing that? So they're giving this AI like really narrow parameters and enormous amounts of data, and it's being, you know, it's having to sort of characterize enormous amounts of data. It's almost like what happens to a baby. The baby opens its eyes. What the hell is going on? You know, that it's just completely incomprehensible. If babies could speak, then when babies were born, they would be like, holy shit, what is this? What's going on? I've just woken up in the control room of reality here. And let me try to get this machine to like work, you know. And so they're trying to figure out how to walk. Like these things are balancing on those two things and moving around. So let me, you know. So it's a very first principles approach, which is not the way you have to build AI is like the opposite of the way you'd build anything else.
Right.
You know. We are trying to build something that we don't understand, ironically. Professor Eric Verlinde, if that's how you say his name, has published new research on a theory called emergent gravity, which predicts the deviation in motion usually attributed to the presence of dark matter. In his theory, Verlinde describes gravity not as a force of nature, but rather an emergent phenomenon. The theory also implies that dark matter simply does not exist. Current models in astrophysics suggest that some 80% of all matter in the universe is dark matter. Even so, dark matter particles have never been detected or observed directly. The new theory incorporates the idea that information in the universe is stored within the structure of space-time.
エリック・フェルンデ教授が新しい論文の中で、通常はダークマターの存在が原因とされる運動偏差について、Emergent Gravity という論理を唱えました。これによると、重力というのは自然力ではなく、出現する現象であり、ダークマターも存在しないことになります。現在の天体物理学では、宇宙の 80% がダークマターで構成されていると考えられていますが、ダークマターが粒子として直接検知、観測されたことはこれまでありません。この新しい理論には、宇宙時間の構造内に宇宙内の情報が保存されているという概念が含まれています。
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, to my understanding, そのダークマターがその物質として検知観測されたことはないけれども、ダークマターがあると仮定することによって説明がつく現象っていうのはいっぱいあるわけじゃん。
Mm.
それはどうなってんの？それはどういうことになるの？
Well, dark matter is sort of, I mean, it's been thought of as some kind of matter that we just, for whatever reason, are unable to detect.
Right.
People have been trying to detect it. There's never really been a fixed definition of
right.
what dark matter is, has there been any consensus on dark matter being matter?
Hmm.
Also, this theory, this emergent gravity theory being put forth by Verlinde, is not accepted by mainstream cosmologists whatsoever.
Oh, okay.
This is a highly controversial thing to put forward. That being said, this guy isn't some, he's not just some like quack, you know, he's not some crackpot out of left field. He's a legitimate astrophysicist. So, but this is what people have been asking for, you know, for people to work on the dark matter problem.
So gravity is not something that just exists.
Gravity would be the name of an emergent phenomenon that, so gravity itself does not exist as a force in nature, according to Eric Verlinde.
So according to him, it's something like, for example, on Earth, it's just constantly emerging.
It's like temperature. Temperature doesn't exist.
Right.
If you look at the smaller levels, you'll see that there's movement of particles, and temperature can be measured, but temperature itself does not necessarily exist. It's an emergent phenomenon. It's like wetness. So this towel is wet, right? Well, wet isn't a thing. It's what happens when you get a bunch of water molecules. You can't have one water molecule and have wetness.
Right.
You have to have a bunch of them together. So the idea here, basically, the reason why they thought, or they think that there's dark matter, the primary reason is because the arms of galaxies like our own spin around the galaxy far too quickly for the observed amount of matter. Normal matter, baryonic matter.
Right. So according to him, what induces gravity? Like what?
Well, it's extremely complicated. I read a lot, but I don't quite understand that. But
okay.
I think the notion is that somehow matter emitting energy contributes to producing this gravitational field.
Okay.
Is the sense I was getting from it. There are problems with this. Supposedly it doesn't jive with the cosmic microwave background data. So may want to ask Komatsu-san what he thinks about this. He might literally be the guy to have input on this. I think there's that. On the flip side, no one has been able to detect a graviton or a dark particle, or dark, you know, dark photon or whatnot. This is based on this idea of, well, basically, gravity is being described as an emergent phenomenon of entropy, and somehow entropy induces gravity in matter more on like cosmic scales, but not on small scales, or not on small scales to the extent that we would be able to detect it,
right?
Which kind of makes sense.
And this information part, I mean, I remember Stephen Hawking was talking about how black hole might just contain all the information that it sucked.
Yeah, hairy black hole.
Yeah. Is it related to that or? I mean, this one.
Yeah, so this idea is based on this holographic principle, which is the notion that all of the information in the universe is the way they mathematically describe it is like if you create a sphere, an imaginary sphere around the universe, that it would contain all of the information of the universe
right.
Within it, which seemed to work, but it worked better when they incorporated this idea of information being stored within space-time itself.
Okay.
So everything that exists can sort of be represented in information, right?
Mm.
And so there's this idea that the universe is generating information. If it wasn't generating information, then perhaps we wouldn't have free will. And that generation of information has to do with entropy.
Right.
So that's how it's tied in to gravity. It's through entropy.
I have no idea how that's connected to gravity.
Well, it's tough. It's tough. It's tough. But right now, we have quantum mechanics, right?
Yeah.
And we have general relativity. They can't both be true. They just can't both be true. They're completely incompatible. Mm. But quantum mechanics works. Yeah. General relativity works. They right. say very different things.
Yeah.
What Verlinde is suggesting is essentially, without producing a massive malapropism, is that the gravity in general relativity can be described by quantum mechanical phenomena as an emergent phenomenon.
Okay.
So it's like, if you look at the smaller levels, there was something going on to produce this effect, right?
Yeah.
Is the idea. But I don't know, there's a lot of controversy about this study. I think it's super interesting. It's always interesting when, I mean, the fact that this theory was able to account for the deviation in motion that we've been attributing to dark matter. I mean, that's the only reason why we came up with dark matter in the first place, is this motion.
Right.
So if it can be accounted for in a different kind of theory, aesthetically, I think this looks good. Aesthetically.
Hmm.
Scientifically, it's I'm not qualified to really say. But,
right.
But
I mean, I think that I saw some headlines about this, and the headlines sounded quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, dark matter didn't actually exist. Like, oh, gravity is not there. Like, but yeah, we would have to talk to Komatsu-san.
We would have to talk to, yeah.
So go.
Yeah. But this is, I mean, if we figure this thing out, can you imagine the implications? Work is being done. We're going to get closer and closer to, you know, these answers. And something like gravity, if we can understand it, the implications for technology will be ridiculous.
Right. I think maybe Komatsu-san said this too, but I think the great part about these scientific studies, like whether it's going to be about space or whether it's about humans, ourselves, it's like we figure out one thing and then it generates thousands of new questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I think that's the fun part.
Do you think it ever ends? 10,000
years from now? Not in our lifetime, for sure.
10,000 years from now, with the assistance of AI, do we have it solved? This is what the universe is.
That would be so boring, right? I mean, it's kind of like being super rich. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the sad part is I think that people wouldn't pay attention. There's so much that we already know about the cosmos, but it's so easy to go from birth to high school to college to Sararima or whatever and not give it any thought. Not give it any thought at all.
でもなんかさ、それは途中だからであって、実際、あ、wait a minute, we figured this out ってなったら、まあどう考えてもさ、テレビとかでも、テレビがその時あるかわかんないけど、取り上げられるわけじゃん。
Yeah.
でそれで、あーって分かっちゃったらさ、なんかすごい金持ちで何でも買えるのと一緒で、なんか、あ、もう、なんていうの、あ、もう分かってるし、みたいなさ、なんか、 Yeah. 楽しみがなくなっちゃうよね。
Well, I feel like that's what's happening in virtual reality. Because you can go into VR and it's like physics aren't even...
Yeah.
Physics aren't... Physics... I mean, we there's physics in most of the VR games you play, right?
Yeah.
But we added that shit. You don't need to have physics.
It
can be whatever.
確かに。
You know? I mean, we are so constrained mentally by...physical laws、
yeah.
That when we go into virtual reality where you can do anything, we just make the same shit that we've been doing for、yeah. so long. I think it's going to be really interesting when people finally start to break out of that. You know, it's, so, like, it's、yeah. like all these memes that just started exploding since like 5, 6, 7 years ago, where people were just making videos and memes and weird stuff on the internet that was completely random and out of nowhere and、
yeah.
strange mishmashes of just nonsensical, like that cat, bus, rainbow, neon, all this crazy stuff, you know?
Right.
That just defies logic. You know?Where does that stuff come from? And if you're in a space where you don't have physical laws or you can just make whatever you want,
yeah.
what happens?
Yeah, it's really weird.
Because if I like, ask you, if you could have anything that you wanted, what would you want to have? And then you're just thinking of like really basic...
Cats?
Dumb stuff, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, you mean like our imagination has like total limits?
Yeah.
Yeah, for yeah. sure. まあ、それはそうだよね。
You know, I was thinking the other day, like, we have humans that just talk to other humans that talk to other humans, and we just keep talking to just humans or just talking to humans all the time. How far can we really get, you know, just doing this?You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're just talking to ourselves. We're all basically the same compared to, you know, whatever crazy stuff might exist out there in the universe.
Maybe that's why people love having pets so much. Because、mm-hmm. you can finally kind of break out of that little bubble and then、
yeah.
you can kind of communicate with something new,、
yeah.
like completely new、
mm-hmm.
that doesn't think like you.
But can you imagine communicating with something bizarre and completely alien that was smarter than you are and made you feel like a cat? Like, what?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you
do? I guess. That, well, I wouldn't even feel that, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't even realize that in that situation.
You don't think your cat realizes...
I don't think my cats think that I'm, like, smart or anything.
Oh, really?
No, because they have their own rules. Like, they have、cat world.
But I think you're
so
smart enough to realize that this thing is smarter than you. No? You know what I mean?
Well, there's a weird... The definition of smart is different, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but there's just a very strange level of awareness that people are at.Humans are at that's different from anything else on this planet. This really weird, super high level of awareness where we can look out at space, we know that we're on a planet. Cats still think that the earth is flat.
Yeah, probably, right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
they think your apartment is the earth.
Yeah, they're flat earthers for sure.
I was trying to understand, like, astrophysicists say that the universe is flat, more or less.
Mm.
It's flat. And I was trying to understand what that means exactly. And I was reading this essay that was like, oh, so long, so long. And the answer was just like never ending. And by the time I got to the end,I was like, what? Where was the answer? Like,
yeah.
And it was
I actually remember what you said about the answers like a while ago. Like, oh, you know, how did the universe start? Like, why are we here? All kinds of stuff. Like, we are kind of assuming that the answers are something that's understandable to us.
Yeah.
But then maybe we're just, even if someone figures out the answer, maybe we are not smart enough to understand that. So even if the answer is right here, we'll be like, what?
You know, it's like the number, 10,000. 10,000 is not a big number, but I can say the number 10,000 and I'm confident that neither of us knows what the fuck that is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
that is true.
I can imagine like 100. Okay.
Yeah. 1,000.
No, 10 of those. I think so. 10,000. It's like, okay, I'm really fudging this now. And then there's just no reference point. It's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone. Once you're talking about time and space and billions of years, it's gone. You don't know what you're saying.
I mean, just about like how many people are listening to this podcast, right? Like that, like I can look at it as a figure and it's like, oh, okay. But then it's not really like humans.
They're not humans.
Like, it's just a number. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I can't, it's not like they're all in the same room and I can see it or something. Yeah. So it doesn't really mean.
What would happen if you saw all of them in the same room?
I don't know. I might freak out. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah. After a certain.
Because when I talk to people, they're like, oh, wow, like so many people are listening to your show. Like, that's so awesome. That's so great.
But we don't know what that means.
Yeah, like I always tell them, like, well, I mean, it's just me and Michael talking in Michael's apartment.
Mm.
So, yeah, I mean.
It's virtual. It's kind of virtual.
Yeah, it's not even real to me, at least. So.
Yeah,
so, I mean, bizarre. Of course, I'm not going to understand, like, space-time or, like, billions of years of whatever, you know.
Yeah, looking at stuff helps. You know, like, it seems so ridiculous to look through a telescope and see this fuzzy dot that's supposed to be Mars.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You look through the telescope, and there's this fuzzy little... I mean, it's really tiny, fuzzy, orange dot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, that's Mars.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Okay.
and some people, they look at that and they just see the fuzzy dot. And it's like, oh, okay. That's Mars. Okay. Boring. But sometimes... And I have had both happen to me.
Hmm.
Sometimes I look through the telescope and I see that fuzzy dot.
Yeah.
And my head explodes.
Hmm.
Like, holy shit. I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Through all this space. And it looks the same, but somehow what happens in your brain, you actually, for whatever reason, your brain understands it. You can look at the same exact image. Sometimes your brain understands it. Sometimes your brain doesn't understand it. Once you understand it, it's easier to understand things like that in the future. But it's just so crazy how different it is.
It's like whether you've been tickled before or you have never been tickled before.
Yeah.
Like, you know what to expect.
Yeah, my neurons dedicated to producing a sense of astonishment have been triggered by my understanding, or primed by my understanding. Your understanding like primes your brain for a certain feeling of epiphany.
Yeah,
I guess.
Weird stuff.
Yep.
The
world's confusing. Nobody knows what's going on.
Yeah. 文字起こしのテキストをアップルじゃない Mac と iPhone と Android のアプリから購入できますので、試してみてください。最初の1話目から3話目までは無料で、1本単位での購入もできるし、月額240円という激安読み放題プランもありますので、ぜひ、 あと何？あ、LINE のスタンプ。
ステッカー。
ステッカー。え？スタンプでしょ？ OK。猫星人スタンプ、マイケルが作った渾身の力作も売っていますので、チェックお願いします。
お願いします。
あと、トレーナーとかね、T シャツとかは、サイトができ次第、また販売開始します。
うん。
あと、なんかあったっけ？あ、Twitter、Instagram、Facebook、フォローお願いします。質問は、Twitter でしていただけると返しやすいです。Instagram にね、この間のスーパームーンのさ、マイケルが撮っためっちゃかっこいい写真載ってるから、それもぜひ、チェックして、見てね。
Yeah, today's theme is moon. My shirt's a moon.
そうだね、今日これからね、ゲストが来て特別編撮るから。
Moon talk.
それ来週出るんだよね。
Mm-hmm.
もうちょっこしも。
Mm-hmm.
同じタイミング。
And, the app update should be next weekend.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
最近ちょっと宇宙の話来てますね。
Yep.
はい、終わり。
以上です。
Bye.
Bye.